Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about Charles Chapin all week.
Yep. Accidental two-parter, part two.
Accidental. Yes. Sometimes it happens. He was one that I kept trying to pare down his story, but there's too much stuff.
Well, and so much of it, like so many of the news stories that came up in the episodes, we have episodes of the podcast on just over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in so many ways, we talked about how biased he could be in his coverage at times, but in so many ways, what we know of huge historical events are because he published them.
Yeah.
Like, I immediately, when we were talking about the Titanic and I was reading the story of him getting that and what that original press story was, like, that is the one where all of the touchstone moments that we now come to see and that appeared in the Titanic movie, that is where they came from. Like, the story of John Astor's wife, like, refusing to go on the boats and they were going to stay together. Like, the band playing on the deck as the ship went down, that came from that news story. Like, all of those things were in that first report that was on the docks when the survivors were coming off of the ship that rescued them, which is just
wow,
mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of my thoughts about him are not positive.
No.
Because, I mean, he clearly developed an important monumental career. A lot of his reporting that we, some of this is the standards of the time, right? Journalistic standards in
very
the late
different.
18th or late 19th, early 20th century, very different from what we expect now. But even with that in mind, some of the stuff he's doing is really unethical.
Oh, completely.
Super unethical. And then he made his own financial problems. I have empathy for the part where he made investments that fell through. Like, that's unfortunate.
That happens.
But then he was also buying yachts and horses and just living beyond his means. He made a
yes.
financial problem himself and then decided his only way out of it was to murder his wife. And I'm just like, I don't like you.
Yeah. I mean, what's really interesting is that one of the biographies I read of him, which is called The Roseman of Sing Sing, and it's quite good. Oh, it's by James McGrath Morris. He mentioned that to him, to that writer, one, he's an interesting case because he also, you know, had been a journalist. And so when he read Chapin's autobiography, his first instinct was to fact check it, and he was surprised by how much most of it was accurate. Mm-hmm. The main problems were things like timeline things that are pretty normal for someone working from memory. Like he said, he worked in one job like X number of months and it was really a slightly different number and things like that. But none of the real like meat and potatoes was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentions that to him, sort of the greatest tragedy is we don't really have a lot of information about Nellie. We don't know a lot about her childhood or her youth. She seems like she was not the least bit concerned about living a wealthy lifestyle when he was like, it's all falling apart. She's like, okay, let's figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fine. We'll be fine. And Chapin, by all accounts, really was very devoted to her. Like he was very, like he became a different person around her. The people that knew him from his newsroom persona, which was very hard-nosed jerkery, would be kind of amazed at how gentle he was and loving with his wife. But I also think you see it play out in his subsequent relationships with his pen pal romances. He was a control freak and Nellie never challenged that control. And so it was easy for him to dote on her. Whereas when he even perceived that anyone else was challenging that control, he would fly into like a complete fit of rage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is that really love and devotion? I'm not sure. That's not the healthiest flavor of it.
No. No, he clearly also had some mental health stuff going on.
Absolutely. From the beginning.
From the beginning. Like the some of the very earliest things that we talked about in his life, which I'm not saying that does not excuse then murdering his wife. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying like clearly he had untreated stuff going on.
Yes. Well, and he even was pretty cognizant of the fact that the way he ran his newsroom and the way he was as a boss was unhealthy for everyone. Like he kind of acknowledged that a lot of reporters died young and that it was probably because bosses like him worked them to the bone in incredibly stressful environments. And that was also playing out for him. I, in a lighter tone, which is not to make light of any of this, I kept finding myself thinking the same thing about Chapin's world of journalism as I feel when I watch Star Wars about people who work for the Empire, which is, why would you want that job? But it doesn't, but I guess if you love it, you love it, right? Like that's, and he loved it. There are a couple interesting things about the way he viewed his job in news. One, he hated the word journalism. He thought it was like too fancy. He's like, I'm a newsman. I'm a newspaper man. That's all I am. I don't know. Take that however you will. But the other thing that was interesting was that he recognized that for most people at the time in journalism, that job, being a reporter for a paper, was kind of a stepping stone in a career to later become a lawyer, a politician, a railroad man. Whereas to him, he was like, no, for me, this is the destination. Like, this is all I want to do ever.
Right, right.
Which is interesting. There are so many pieces that I didn't get to include in his story as long as it got. He actually did run into his father during that brief foray where he was working as a campaign manager for that Utah politician. He ran into his father in a jewelry shop and he never told his family about it.
Oh, wow.
Like just completely by accident, he ran into him. And it was one of those weird things. I feel like that relationship colored his opinions and feelings about a great many things more than he ever really recognized.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hey, friends. We want to tell you about another really special podcast we love. Dinner's on Me with Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Dinner's on Me is the show where your favorite celebrities get dinner and get real. Jesse and his famous friends invite you to the table to share untold stories, Hollywood anecdotes, and personal secrets shared only with a full belly of food, wine, and dessert. Jesse is joined by Modern Family co-stars Sofia Vergara and Ed O'Neill, as well as Kathy Griffin, Simu Liu, Mandy Moore, Dax Shepard, and many more. Join us as we step out of the studio and into some of the most acclaimed restaurants around the world. With surprise appearances and a spoonful of foodie fun, your unique access to high-profile cultural luminaries is served here. Take a seat at the table and subscribe to Dinners on Me wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is an interesting story that's a little more fun about what was going on between Hearst's papers and Pulitzer's papers when they were really like in the thick of their competition, which is that they were stealing stories from each other, as we mentioned. Like literally a reporter would read a paper's the story from one paper, kind of rewrite it as his own, and their paper would publish it.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Hearst, one of his reporters, apparently under Hearst's orders, wrote this article about an event in which they quoted a witness named Colonel Rafleep W. Thanus. And when Pulitzer's reporters regurgitated that entire thing, then Hearst was like, that's a made up person. It's an anagram of we pilfer the news. You're all idiots. which is an interesting way to catch somebody doing that, but Chapin. It's interesting reading his biography because he does seem so, you know, during his time in prison, he comes off as such a gentle, I don't know if sweet is the right word, but a very gentle, you know, like reformed person. And then you read how quickly he got angry at Constance Nelson for having done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he held that grudge for the rest of his life. Like he would literally, you know, he had poured his heart out to this person and seemed so devoted. And then it was like, well, you wronged me over and over. And even later, as he had stopped really writing her regularly, he would occasionally write her these letters that were like, you didn't even try to come and see me. And like these weird, just poisonous, blah. That's why I'm like, you're a control freak.
Yeah. No, thanks.
No, thanks. His prison setup sounds pretty lovely by many accounts. Like he was sent so much like food and groceries from wealthy friends that he had an assistant assigned to him to cook his own meals.
Come on now.
Right? Like that's not really serving time, it doesn't seem, when everybody else is having to eat prison kitchen food.
Yeah, it, it definitely seems like his treatment, there was a disparity between his treatment and everybody else, for sure.
Yeah, and we should note, this is at a time when Laws, as a figure at Sing Sing, is interesting because he was trying to really reform the criminal justice system and find ways that he could give the men who were incarcerated in his prison opportunities to, like, follow their desires, etc., in a lot of different ways. But clearly, Chapin was treated like he was an equal to the people that were running the place in many ways, and that he did not have to live by the rules. Strange. He was allowed to bring his own clothes. He didn't have to wear the prison uniform. Now, many people that were incarcerated there had that option, but most of them did not have nice clothes to bring with them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he was, like, you know, in his tailored shirts and ties. It's the weirdest thing. It's such a disparity and, like, a weird mental break of how it all works.
Let's get into one of those things of, like, not necessarily saying Chapin should have been subjected to the more dehumanizing thing, but no. Know that everyone should have had access to the less dehumanizing thing. Right?
Exactly. Like, it just was, he was very clearly apart from the rest of the population there, and allowed to, you know, like I said, he never did hard labor, even though that was part of his sentence. Here's a very interesting thing. After he died, of course, much of the press coverage of his death, once again, written by reporters in the New York journalism scene, called out what a jerk he was and how hard he was to work for and how he, you know, would fire people if someone in their family became terminally ill because he was like, you're not going to be able to do this job anymore. Get out. Just really unkind, horrible things. And Constance Nelson, his second prison romance, was so upset by this. She's like, that's not the man I know. Even though he had been really cruel to her at the end, she wanted to publish all of his letters to her as a book. And it did get picked up and made into a book. Cooper also published a similar book because she wanted to show what a loving and kind person he had become. And it's like, he was so mean to you. Why would you do this? Why? Why? However, both of those books got published. Nobody bought them, apparently. I couldn't find a copy of either, I had hoped. But neither of them did very well, and they kind of vanished pretty quickly.
Maybe nobody wanted to read their empathy.
Right? I think probably that's part. It's like, oh, yeah, really reformed. I don't want to read his weird romantic overtures to you, knowing that he shot his wife, was cruel to everyone who ever worked for him. There are lots of stories, too, of journalists and reporters that worked under him who presumed he hated them because he was so mean all the time. And some of them would say something along those lines of, like, listen, I know you don't like me, blah, blah, blah. And he would be like, what are you talking about? You're one of my favorites. And it's like, are you just that broken that you don't know how to treat people well? Or are you playing with them? And we don't know the answer to that. Humans are complex.
Yeah.
Again, whew, not the job for me.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
There is one more funny story, which is that one of his reporters got a very strange flavor of revenge because this reporter was also writing pulp fiction on the side to make extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of their books, they named a poison after him called Chapinite.
That's great.
And I'm like, that seems well-deserved. All right. That's Charles Chapin. Maybe later we can do Charles V. Chapin, the doctor who tried to make people not get exposed to as many germs and microbes, and that will feel like a balm.
The person you were actually going to find information on when you found this.
He's still on the list. Listen, this is a good on-ramp for our Halloween coverage. It's a little darker. We'll have Halloween fun in the coming weeks, and then...
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll get back to all of these people.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if this is your time off in the next coming days, I hope that it is absolutely wonderful and relaxing and not fraught in the least. And maybe you have roses without any baggage to enjoy. If you do not have time off, I hope that you still get to enjoy some things and maybe some quiet time to yourself. We will be right back here again tomorrow with a Saturday classic. And then on Monday, there will be more new episodes.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.